Today on Real Radio.
David's got his eyes on God. He's looking at it in the spiritual realm. This guy is blessed by God. He sees things different. No wonder why we see now why Jonathan was so impressed with the nature of this guy.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his verse-by-verse series through the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel. We're in a mini-series taken from chapter 18 today, the part of the story where we're told of David's loyal right-hand man, a man named Jonathan. It's a valuable lesson and a true example of what true friendship is all about. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs now, continuing his mini-series called Friends and Foes of the Faith.
David could have pulled that spear out of the wall and said, you know what, you goofy king, you know what, I've had it with you. You are one whacked out man. You're insecure for no reason. You've been fighting against God. He loves you. Your son upsets you. Everybody upsets you. You got your eyes on yourself. You drive me crazy. And David could have picked up that spear and he could have put it right through Saul's head. David leaves twice. Men, isn't that something? Can you imagine someone taking a swing at you? And I tell you, that's when your Christianity is on the line. That's when the world's going to find out if you're spirit-filled or not. Can you walk away? David, in my opinion, is fulfilling the act and the walk of a New Testament believer right here. He turns the other cheek. He walks away. He doesn't even throw the harp at Saul. Can you imagine? Saul's got a broken harp around his neck. It could have happened, but it didn't. David was in the spirit. So David got the point. He was led by the Spirit and got out of there. I want to encourage you about your attitudes, my attitudes, that the circumstances in life, Christian, listen up. The circumstances in our lives, Christian. I want to make sure you hear this. If you're a Christian tonight, every circumstance in your life will come out for something great. That is an absolute fact. You may argue with that. You may not feel that way right now, but I got news for you. I don't care how bad it is. I don't care how horrible it is. I know what you might be thinking. That this marriage, this divorce, this financial ruin, this health issue, this life, I've been abused all my life, and now I'm in this relationship abused again. I mean, you can have all of your stuff, and it's real stuff. That's why it hurts so bad. It's real. God doesn't say, well, just blot that out and don't even think about it. God's real. He says, you know what? This is an evil world. This is a fallen world, and it's extremely imperfect. I, on the other hand, am a holy God. I have redeemed you, and I'm getting you out of this thing my way. You worship me, a holy God, in an imperfect world. Yes, there's hurricanes. Yes, there's earthquakes, and yes, there's Muslims killing Christians in Pakistan as we speak. But the circumstances in life, you will either turn to God and grab onto his Bible when the storm is raging and receive from his word that peace that passes all understanding, or you're going to throw your Bible to the side and you're going to reach for a drug or a gun or whatever. What are you going to do? God's all you got. He's all you need. Has it gotten so bad that I need to get friends to pray? Pray anyway. Pray at all times. But listen, for those of us who are Christians tonight, whatever the circumstances are in our lives, God knows. Please hang on. He's working something out. I know you feel like exploding. I know you feel like caving in. I know you feel like we were talking about earlier, how if I've become weary with the footmen, what am I going to do? When the chariots arrive and when the Jordan begins to overflow, what's going to happen to me then? And we begin to worry and we begin to fret and we begin to defeat ourselves. God strengthen us that we might step back and say, Lord, my life right now kind of stinks. It's not going the way I'd have it, but I am yours. I've called upon your name. I believe that you are my Lord and Savior. God, be big in my life now and cause your grace to surround me, and I will walk from this moment forward in you. And if I get hit by a train, then Lord, this body's yours. If that's what you wish, you know, then I'm yours. Boy, isn't life getting fragile, everybody? Huh? I'm sorry, but we've gone from being on status 4 alert, you know, threat, terror, number 4. And everybody's looking around and people been noticing strange cars driving around town, black cars. Where's these black cars coming from with these people in them? It's like, you know, Men in Black, kind of a, what's going on? I don't know if you've seen that. Who are these people? Well, I just hope they're on our side. What's going on? And we've gone from, could that guy be a terrorist? Now you get on an airplane, you're not concerned about a terrorist. Now you're concerned about a mosquito. Now you can be sitting in the backyard with a cup of coffee and, West Nile virus. Isn't it bizarre? What a crazy world we live in. Trust in the Lord. Have your heart rested and settled upon Him. It's the only way we're going to make it. Verses 13 to 16 is this, that a godly heart will be approachable or friendly. A godly heart. Look at this. What an example. Therefore, Saul removed him from his presence. Get David out of here. Well, David was willing to go. Praise the Lord. And made him his captain over 1,000. And he went out, that is David, and came before the people. Watch. And David behaved wisely. There it is again. David behaved wisely in all his ways. And the Lord was with him. Therefore, when Saul saw that he behaved wisely, very wisely, he was afraid of him. By the way, the word in Hebrew is, he was more afraid, more, getting more afraid. But all Israel and Judah loved David. Why? Because he went out and came in before them. Can you underline that? Every person, if this is your home church, will you underline that verse? He went in and out before the people. David was approachable. There goes the giant killer. I wonder what it was like to kill a giant. Well, why don't you go ask him? You can talk to him. Go ask him. Isn't that cool? David came in and out before the people, and they loved him. You know what it means? David was just like them, and the message that he sent to them was that he was just like them. Saul stayed in the palace. David walked around with the people. Saul stayed in safety. David went to war. David trafficked among the people. He trusted God. He lived for God. He sought after God. So why should he hide? He was a true minister, a true shepherd, a true servant of God. He was among the people. David enjoyed the people. He enjoyed being with them. Don't you think that God, in all of his years of having that young boy as a shepherd, God took that in preparation for life? Listen. God took the preparation of life that he was in growing up, and God translated it into a real life situation. God will take your life and your history and your moment, and God will translate that into real ministry, into real benefit to not only yourself, but to the people around you. Just go in and out before the people. Man, it's our prayer that this church is an approachable church. That we're all people that are friendly because we're secure in God. Third and final point, and we'll be done, verses 17 to 30. It's having a sound mind. First point, it's a matter of the soul. Second point, it's an issue of the heart. Third point, it's having a sound mind. Verses 17 to 30, we find this. When we have a sound mind, will be mindful of who we are. Verse 17 says, then Saul said to David, here is my older daughter, Merab. Because this was the promise, by the way, to the man who had killed the giant. I will give her to you as wife. Only be valiant for me and fight for the Lord's battles. For Saul thought, let my hand not be against him, but let the hand of the Philistines be against him. So David said to Saul, listen, who am I? And what is my life or my father's family in Israel that I should be son-in-law to the king? Saul is planning on killing him by placing him into this impossible situation. And David is thinking, what a tremendous honor to be invited to be in this family. Do you guys see the difference of heart? Is this not black and white? Verse 19 says, but when it happened at that time when Merab, Saul's daughter, should have been given to David, then she was given to Adriel, the Moholite, as a wife. He's just, you see what Saul's doing? He's trying to provoke David to get him to act. If sending him into battle to go after the Philistines didn't kill David, well then, what I'll do, that didn't kill him, so what I'll do, I'll break the promise, get him really ticked off, because he obviously wants my daughter. He thinks it's a pretty good deal. I'm going to take her and give her to somebody else to really get him infuriated. He'll get into the flesh, he'll do something stupid, and I can have him arrested or hung by the neck. You see how the flesh works? It manipulates people. It plays with people. It takes people and gets into power plays all for one thing, and that's to advance the person who's behind the whole gig. And it happens in spiritual things. It happens with the king of Israel. It happens among God's professing people. Isn't that sad? Are we mindful of who we really are? David was mindful. Who am I? He says. What a healthy thing for us. We should be saying, who am I? Being mindful. Romans 12:3 says, for I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. Don't be drunk with self-thought. As God has dealt to each one of us a measure of faith. You know what that means? It's beautiful. Lord, here I am reporting for duty, sir. All right, this is what I want you to do. Thank you, sir. We march out and we do what God's told us to do. When it's done, we step back and say, God, thank you for getting me through that. I know you asked me to do it. I thought I was going to die through the midst of it. But not only did I make it, it was awesome. And you did, God, more than I thought. You overwhelmed me. God, thank you. You're amazing. God, by faith in us, working in this world, wants to accomplish things, but when it's done, we step back and go, whoo, wow, I didn't think I'd make it. God, you're awesome. Praise the Lord. Can we do it again? Bring on something else. God gets all the glory, and you have a measure of faith. And when that measure of faith is walked in our lives, as we do it, as we embark upon that path, we have a wonderful assurance. God will get the glory, we'll make it through, and we'll sign up again. You see, when the world does it in us and through us, we get to the end, we get all the glory, we get a check or a bonus, and then we wound up being used, broken, and beaten, and left alongside the road for dead. But when God uses us, he's got an amazing, miraculous way of dealing with his people. That once we sign up for him and we get through it, we sign up again. You know, it's funny. I was looking at the roster for the next missions outreach to Mexico. And so many people who went just last month or this month, they signed up to go again. Why? Because they were beaten to death? No. Why? Because they were starved down there? No. Because they were blessed out of their socks. They were blown away, we would say. So they get back from Mexico, they want to sign up again. It's awesome. Verses 20 to 26, we learn this about having a sound mind and being mindful of things, being mindful of God. 20 to 26. Now, Michal, Saul's daughter, loved David, and they told Saul, and the thing pleased him. So Saul said, I will give her to him, that she may be a snare to him. Kind of let you in on what kind of girl she was. And that the hand of the Philistines might be against him. Therefore Saul said to David a second time, you shall be my son-in-law today. And Saul commanded his servants, communicate with David secretly and say, look, the king has delight in you, and all his servants love you. Now therefore come before the king and be the king's son-in-law. So Saul's servants spoke those words in the hearing of David. And David said, does it seem to you a light thing to be a king's son-in-law, seeing I am poor and lightly esteemed? The girls are probably saying, is this guy for real? And the servants of Saul told him, saying, in this manner David spoke. Then Saul said, thus you shall say to David, the king does not desire any dowry, but 100 foreskins of the Philistines to take vengeance on the king's enemies. But Saul thought to make David fall by the hand of the Philistines. Verse 26. So when his servants told David these words, it pleased David well to become the king's son-in-law. Now the days had not expired. We'll pick this up in a second. David goes, that's it? I only just have to kill 100 Philistines and I can be in the king's family? I mean, come on, you guys, you got to agree with me. Would you want to be in the king's family? David's got his eyes on God. He's looking at it in the spiritual realm. This guy is blessed by God. He sees things different. No wonder why we see now why Jonathan was so impressed with the nature of this guy. He's mindful of the things of God. 27 to 30, verses 27 to 30, he's mindful of the power of God. Therefore, David arose and went, he and his men, and he killed 200 men of the Philistines. Now, how many men did Saul want him to kill? 100. I'm sorry. I just delight in the fact that when Saul hears that he killed 200 and survived, it's going to drive Saul more crazy. And this part's pretty sick. And David brought their foreskins, and they gave them in full count to the king. That he might become the king's son-in-law. Then Saul gave him Michal, his daughter, as a wife. Thus Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David, and that Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him. And Saul was still more afraid of David. So Saul became David's enemy continually. Then the princes of the Philistines went out to war. And so it was whenever they went out that David behaved more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so that his name became highly esteemed. Man, mindful of the power of God. Who would you like to have standing with you in life's difficulties, huh? Would you like to have Saul with you? Saul's got the bucks. He's got the cars. He's got the palace. He's got everything. He's got fountains and servants. He goes like this, and they bring crackers and cheese. There's people fanning him. When you come into the, can you imagine coming into the palace there in Israel? We're talking extreme opulence. The cultures of this world know nothing of that grandeur. And Saul, he thinks he's something. Boy, that's the world's trap. The world loves coattails. Hey, that guy's moving upward and onward. Let's get along with him. Let's follow in the wake, smoother behind his wake. Let's chum along with him. And maybe we can gain some political status or power. And if maybe, who knows, he could become governor. And then we might have some place in his court. Oh, look, there's that pop star. Let's follow in her wake, because you know what? Money will just be falling along the way. We can pick up some of the stuff that's left behind. People could still have said back then, hey, there's King Saul. As far as the nation knew, he was king. Did they know what was going on in the palace? Maybe not. When Saul pulled his chariot out with the motorcade and went into town, everybody, ooh, whoa, impressive, you know? And then there's David. He's just a soldier. He's one of the leaders in the Israeli Defense Force. He's like others. Now, there is a rumor going around that he's a giant killer, and many of the nation's soldiers had seen that happen. But you know what? He doesn't have any money. He doesn't have any real influence. He only commands 1,000 guys. It's no big deal. But God is establishing him. So Christian, be careful. God does not look at the outward and is impressed. I think God looks at the outward. And if it were possible, he would be depressed. Because we begin to look and we begin to think and we begin to say, as Nebuchadnezzar, oh, look at this great kingdom that I have built. It's not true. I'm wondering, if you and I lived back then, who would we be gravitating toward? A poor man, shepherd, like David? Or a rich, influential man with a house on the hill, like Saul? Their hearts are being exposed. This chapter has made it very clear. One man is rising upward, but he sees himself small. One man sees himself large, and he's descending downward. May we be humble servants of the Lord God Almighty. Amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Friends and Foes of the Faith. It's a mini-series taken from 1 Samuel chapter 18 and part of our verse-by-verse exploration through this fascinating Old Testament book. And we'll continue with more Friends and Foes of the Faith on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Meanwhile, we'd like to invite you to get on board with a whole bunch of other Real Radio listeners, folks that are taking part in the one-year Bible. Now, of all the New Year's resolutions you can come up with, can you think of a better one than reading God's written word from Genesis to Revelation? Doesn't that sound good? The one-year Bible is designed in such a way for you to read in 1 year through the entirety of God's word in as little as 15 minutes a day. Really, it's true. I do it every day. Now, because we're nearing the end of 2014, you may want to consider prayerfully what you can contribute to this radio outreach called Real Radio. Please keep in mind that it does take time, energy, and of course, a lot of resources to get the one-year Bible into your hands. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org to find out how to get your copy of the one-year Bible. Matter of fact, we'd like to put it in the hands of every Real Radio listener, and that includes you. Now, whether you call, click, or write, ask for it by name, the one-year Bible. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our telephone number, if you'd like to call someone, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. And, of course, a lot of folks like to still use the mailbox. That's true, so let's give you that information. Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And, of course, all of our contact info can be found at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.